You're listening to TV Madness with Makisha Madden-Toby. I'm your host. Thanks for listening. Our guest today is Sarah Rodman, TV and pop music critic for the Boston Globe. We'll be talking about summer TV, the good, the bad, and the downright silly. Sarah, thanks for doing the show.
Hey, Makisha. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Okay, so one of the shows we're going to talk about is Devious Maids, but we'll get back to that in a minute. What do you like this summer? Anything overall, or are you anticipating anything coming back or debuting?
All right, so I'm already excited about Under the Dome. Are you excited about Under the Dome?
I like the pilot.
I really, really liked it. I'm a big Stephen King fan. I actually have not read that one.
Me neither.
And I was considering reading it before the show came on, and I was like, all right, I haven't seen it. I'm going to take the Game of Thrones approach. I'm just going to go in cold. And I loved it. Mm-hmm. I'm super excited to see what happens next, and I really like the cast, too.
I did, too, and I like the lesbian relationship, and I like the guy, the mysterious guy, and the murderer and all that other stuff. We don't know what that's about.
Yes, and I love that actor, too. He plays Zach Shelby on the Bates Motel prequel.
Oh, is that where I know him from?
And I really liked him. And I was like, oh, here he is again so soon. Very enjoyable. Although I did feel a little bad that, you know, Samantha Mathis has already reached a point where she's playing people's moms.
Oh, I know. And then her daughter has, like, this epileptic thing. Well, we don't know what it is. We don't know if it's the dome or what's going on.
I think it's the dome.
It's
I'm very excited. And it got great ratings, too, apparently.
Yeah, I think people want stuff like that for the summer. And I feel like it's a lot of the things that Falling Skies fails to be. Is that overstepping it for
Pride? Yeah, I understand what you mean. I think that Falling Skies probably went a little too far. It's a little too alien. Perhaps it alienated viewers by being by going a little too far in the sci-fi direction. Whereas this is, you know, the kind of sci-fi that I think people are really enjoying, at least on the mainstream broadcast networks these days, is the kind where it's the world that we recognize.
Exactly.
But it's just a little bit off. Like, you can buy it up until the crazy dome shows up, but it's real enough that you're willing to go along for the ride.
Well, it's funny, too, is I one of my critic friends, you probably know her, Christina Radish, she writes for Collider, and she says, she had seen it before me, and she goes, this is gross, because the cow gets split in half. And I don't know if I've been desensitized by shows, by, like, Game of Thrones, but I was like, oh, that is gross, but I wasn't, like, it didn't stop me from
watching. Yeah, no, that didn't bother me at all, although I did think it was strange that it was just a big red blob, that there was no, I mean, this is how into it I got. I'm like, but where are the intestines? How come I can't make out any parts of the
cow? Why does it just look like a slice of beef
and
meat locker or something? Yeah, I am excited about that show. I'm really curious to see, more than anything, how the second episode stacks up.
Exactly. And I was surprised by Britt Robertson on that show. She played Lux on Life Unexpected, the short-lived
Her on
CW
Life Unexpected
show,
yeah.
Which I really enjoyed as well.
And she was on this, was that one with the circle, too, or the, what was it?
Right, the about the witches.
Mm-hmm.
And those poor CW shows, we can't even remember the name of them. But I thought she was super believable in that scene where she was being kidnapped by her apparently not very nice boyfriend.
I don't like him. He's creeping me out. I don't know if that's important or if
it's, I don't care for Junior. But I feel
weird.
Like in like a single pilot episode, they drew some really strong characters very quickly.
That's a good point. So let's talk about Devious Maids now.
Oh, my God. Oh, Dios mio, should I say.
It was one of those shows that, you know, ABC was supposed to pick it up as a pilot, and they were freaked out sort of by the politically incorrectness of it, so they passed on it, and then Lifetime swooped in and grabbed it, and there was a lot of buzz around it, and a lot of people, more than probably Eva Longoria and Mark Cherry expected, were very leery of the show, and they were worried that the Latinas in particular are going to be fetishized, and we're going to play a quick clip, and then we'll come out of the clip and talk about your thoughts on the show. Here's a clip. This clip features one of the characters, Evelyn, has just lost her maid and to murder, and instead of worrying about the maid, she has other concerns. Check it out.
I think we're just about done here. We should be out of your way in a few minutes.
I don't understand. What do you mean you're done?
Well, we collected all the evidence. We have a suspect in custody.
All this blood on the furniture and the carpet.
Don't worry, ma'am. We have photos of everything. All right, people, pack it up. Let's get going.
I don't care about photos. I don't care about evidence. My maid was murdered. was going to clean all this up.
So after hearing that, you said you were only able to watch the first half hour, and you almost stopped watching after seeing that part.
I almost clicked off after that. You know, who's going to clean all this up? Here's the thing. I was a huge Desperate Housewives fan. I was probably the only person who stayed in until the bitter end. I love Mark Cherry. I thought I was hopeful that this would be good because the cast is great. I mean, Judy Reyes, Anna Ortiz. I mean, you have this top-notch cast of Hispanic women, and then you make them maids, which is so disappointing to begin with.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I get that we're supposed to laugh at the white people on the show because they're being so ridiculous, but we're still playing into all these cultural stereotypes in a way that is perhaps occasionally amusing, but is mostly just kind of tired.
I felt like they were really hard on the white women in the show, too. I felt like most of the white women are bad, and I was hoping that they would have been a little more human and, like, less monstrous.
More measured. But, I mean, it is a soap, and I'm a fan of broad. I'm a fan of silly. These are the things that Mark Cherry does, and he often did them very well on Desperate Housewives. But I think that it's just too much in one stream culturally. Like, it's hitting the same points over and over again.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, the pool boy and the I mean, it's just too... It's 2-1-0.
Yeah. I like Anna Ortiz, though. I don't really think there's much she can do badly. I mean, I think she makes the most of it out of all of the actresses on the show. I feel like she's, like, determined to make and save
the
show.
She also has the best character.
She does have the best character, and at least stereotypical, right?
Exactly.
Right.
And I think that, you know, it's a testament to all of the women. I think that, again, poor Judy Reyes having to play, like, a mother now is like, has it really come to that? I guess
really?
Maybe
how,
I'm just
really,
projecting.
Biologically, maybe. Biologically, maybe that girl could be her daughter, but yeah.
But it's a little upsetting that the woman from Scrubs is a daughter that old. But I also thought that she was really great, you know, trying to talk Susan Lucci down
she
off
is
the
good.
Ledge there. But it's, you know, there's only so much you can do with that kind of, I mean, it's just so broad. I could not stick with it. And I wanted to support these people, but can't do it. Too devious for me.
Yeah, it's funny. It got about 2 million viewers, which is, I guess, really good for not bad. I wouldn't say really good, but not bad for Lifetime. So it'll be interesting to see after the second episode airs how those ratings measure up and if people continue to tune in or if they were like, okay, that was enough.
Well, and it's also, I mean, you know, kudos to Lifetime in one sense, in the same way the Steel Magnolias reboot did well for them, that they are reaching out to an audience of color. If perhaps they, in this instance, are doing it in a way that is discomfiting, like it's a start, you know?
Right,
I mean, they are at least trying to broaden their palette.
That's true. Did you watch the Steel Magnolias reboot?
I did.
Did you like it?
There were things about it I liked. I'm a huge fan of the original, huge fan, like quoting lines from the original many years later kind of fan.
Of course, yeah.
So I did not see why it was necessary. Like, I just don't understand those, we're going to do an all-female Othello, we're going to do an all-black Steel Magnolias, or an all-anything-anything. Like, I just don't really understand what the point of that is. So I had trouble with the premise. But yeah. I thought there was some acting in it that was very good. But I feel like that original is so indelible that it's, you know, it's like covering, you know, an amazing Beatles song or something. It's very hard to do well.
Yeah, my problem, I guess my biggest problem, I only had a few sort of hiccups for me. And the biggest was that Queen Latifah was in the lead role, which was originally played by Sally Field. And I just felt like she just wasn't the best person for that
she
role.
She should have been Truvy. When I heard about what the casting
was,
I thought she was going to be in the Dolly Parton role as the hairdresser, which I thought made much more sense for, I mean, if we're going to typecast these women, I thought that it was miscast all around.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't, great actresses, but each one, like, step right to the other part, you know? Just not.
Yeah, and Queen Latifah was an executive producer, so I felt like, and I mean not to put all of it on her because it's not all her, and Lifetime would have had a say presumably too, and as the other executive producers, but I felt like it was just one of those things where she should have said, you know what, I am Queen Latifah, and I can executive produce this, but I don't have to star in it.
Right.
And I think a few other actresses come to mind that would have been better in that role.
I thought that Felicia Rashad was playing that part. And she was, Queen Latifah was playing Truvy. I mean, I had them all cast in a different way when I heard what the list was. I was just like, oh, all right. Well, clearly they need to consult us the next time.
Yes, they do. Alfre Woodard was good, though. I thought she was arguably the best, and she made the best of it.
But that's the best character, though, with the best lines.
Weeza,
who wouldn't want to be Weeza? You and I could play Weeza.
You think so? Our version of Steel Magnolias will rock. That's all I'm saying. A few of our cohorts would be on the
team. Because we believe in the theory that if you don't have anything nice to say, come sit by me.
I love it. I love it. So we also, we were talking about the summer shows that to get way, of course, we're still, but like you said, good on Lifetime for trying to do stuff and trying to reach another audience. Back to summer TV. Ray Donovan is a highly anticipated show that's going to debut on Showtime. I really enjoyed it. What did you think?
I liked it, and I also think it's smart that Showtime made it available, like a lot of networks are doing now with their pilots. They made it available online before the premiere. Mm-hmm. I think that it's fun for fans, or at least I've seen a lot of people commenting on websites. It's fun for fans to be in on the conversation with the critics when the reviews run. I've seen a lot of comments saying, oh, I saw it, and this is what I think, and I think it is helpful from a viewership standpoint. I really enjoyed it. I love Liev Schreiber. I think the cast is really terrific.
The casting is top notch.
I think the potential could go either way. I think it could be really compelling and funny and dramatic, and I also think it could become kind of rote fixer of the week storyline that might not be so interesting.
You mean in terms of what he's fixing and
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because he's, in case you guys haven't watched the online screener or haven't seen it yet, it's about a guy in Hollywood he's from Massachusetts, right?
He's from Boston, yeah.
He's from Boston. And he's a Hollywood fixer. He comes in and he fixes problems for the rich and the famous, and he does a really good job at it. But in the meantime, his family is sort of falling apart. His father comes back from his past and is released from prison, and there's all this. And John Voight plays his dad, and he's fantastic.
Yes, nobody chews scenery like John Voight. And it's sort of like, it's like Scandal, but with a man and set in Hollywood instead of politics. Like, he's like Olivia Pope, but he's a terse, stoic man. I will have to say that the being from Boston, the Boston accents are very wildly in their authenticity.
Really? Like you...
There are some people that are doing it okay, and then there are some
What did you think of Liev's?
I think he actually does the best accent, but he also doesn't talk that much. So,
what about John Boyd?
I actually think he did a good job, but he's been in films set in Boston before.
I thought, especially that scene where he's talking to Liev Schreiber's wife, the character's wife, Ray Donovan's wife, and I thought, I thought it was really convincing.
Yes,
but you have more of
an actor.
Yeah, I mean, you live there. You're from
there.
Well,
I'm surrounded by people who actually talk that way, so... I have an idea of what it's supposed to sound like. But I will say in that particular show, who I really like is Eddie Marson, who plays the brother who has Parkinson's disease.
Oh, I love him.
I think
he's so
really
good.
And I think that could be a compelling storyline without it being sort of cloying or movie of the week. Like, watching that unfold could be really interesting.
Yeah, and the potential romance, everything. I just love him. I love him. But I loved him in, like, stuff like Sherlock Holmes. So he's He's just that guy. He's British, right?
He is. They're all British these days. Who even knows anymore? Hi, American. Come on. What's happening?
Yeah, it was. Seriously, Sarah, it was to the extent that I was like, I started questioning what Liev Schreiber was. I was like, is he from America? I need to look it up. Like, I couldn't remember.
I know.
It doesn't even matter anymore.
It's a serious British invasion, but I love it.
Yeah, I know. So you didn't really care for Devious Maids. Are there any other shows you were like, summer shows that you're trying to avoid, or you're trying to make sure people don't waste their time on?
To warn people away. Yeah. Don't do it. To be honest, I feel like we get to be more selective in the summer because even though it has come to a point where there's almost as much on as in the summer as the rest of the year.
I know.
We can get away with being like, but it's summertime, so we want to barbecue and go to baseball games and hang out. So we can ignore the crappy reality shows that are on in the summer and, like, the scripted shows that perhaps aren't up to snuff, like, say, Mistresses. Like, we can get away with not watching things that are bad.
Right.
So basically that's my way of saying that I am skipping things that are bad.
So you don't like Mistresses, are you saying? Because I was hopeful, and it has not at all lived up to my hope.
Yeah, no, this is a theme, I think, to this conversation that we're having, that great cast, interesting pedigree in this case, you know, based on, I believe, a British series of the same name.
Right.
And so hopeful. I mean, do we not root for Alyssa Milano as if she is a member of our family?
She's so
our
cute.
Little sister. That
she'll
we're
always
like,
be Samantha.
Come on. Why can't good shows happen to her?
I don't know.
And yet, this is not it. And poor our friend there, Yoon-jun Kim from Lost.
Yeah.
Like, she finally pops back up again.
And in this role.
Show.
I know. And it's just, they haven't, I mean, the biggest thing, and my husband and I watched the British original, and he said, we're not going to change anything. God, it's like.
Oh, is it exactly the same?
Almost exactly the same. They changed a few things, like the husband died in 9/11 in the original. And in this one, he dies in a boating accident or something. But
wow, that's actually a pretty substantial change.
But everything else, I mean, in terms of like her being a widow, and then this woman with the psychiatrist psychiatrist who has like the affair, and then the son pops up, and then Alyssa Milano being the woman who's you know,
and then the slutty sister. I don't know. I just can't. Again, I seek out nighttime soaps. I enjoy them as a general rule, but this. I just can't do it. It hurts my heart to see Alyssa Milano again in a program that just does not do her justice. And she's funny. Like,
yeah.
This show does not allow her to be funny.
No.
Or funny in any way that's, you know.
Intentional.
Exactly.
Well, now that if summer won't be here forever, are there any fall shows, given that we've been, you know, sort of bombarded with some of the fall shows already in terms of, like, screeners and stuff? Is there anything that you've gotten a chance to check out and you actually are looking forward to for the fall?
Okay, so just between you and me.
And my six listeners.
And I think we may, I'm going to mind meld with you right now and say we may be on the same track. I loved Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh my God, I love that show. It was so good. I did not expect that show to be good because Andy Samberg can be so annoying sometimes. Even on Saturday Night Live, which I loved him on, I just thought, is he going to do, like, is he going to be over the top? And it wasn't. It wasn't that show at all. It was really funny. I did not expect that show to be as good as it is.
And Andre Brower, who knew?
Oh, I love
hilarious.
Well, Andre Brower.
Hilarious.
I mean, right. True.
Being
because
Andre
we know
Brower,
him.
But
right.
Being hilarious, like, in the situation. Like, whoever cast him in that role, stroke of genius.
Yeah, this is true. I really, really like that show. And I'm hoping it'll every episode will be just as good.
Yeah, because the pilot is excellent. It has the potential, again, as all shows do, as we acknowledge, you know, have the, you know, there's two roads that they can take.
Exactly.
But I'm very hopeful for that one because, you know, Andy Samberg's character in that show, he plays, you know, a hotshot detective in a Brooklyn precinct. And, you know, then Andre Brower comes in as the button-down police captain. And also Terry Crews on that show playing
I love
the very
Terry
funny
Crews.
Sergeant. Like, it's just such a good cast, but it's the kind of thing with Samberg being so goofy every week could get tiresome, but that dynamic in the pilot is excellent.
Right, because he's more tempered, I would argue. It sort of looks like it was going to go that way, and then he kind of pulls it in.
And I feel like that he's playing a confident character as opposed to a nerd. I assumed that he would be like a loser, but instead he's actually quite capable.
Right, he knows what he's doing. It's just the process.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to seeing. But I also may have been the only person who stayed on the sub on Last Resort until the very end with Andre Brower.
Are you serious? I couldn't get past the second one.
Oh, no. I watched the entire thing. Was so in love with it.
Oh, really?
I will follow Andre Brower pretty much anywhere. I know he's married. I'm not being weird. I'm just saying as an actor.
No, I know what you mean. I remember a few years ago when he did Thief. Like, FX had set up an interview, and they were like, Andre Brower's going to call you. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And they didn't give me a time. And I was like, well, I'll just be at my desk. And they were like, yeah, he'll call you in an hour or something. And like 10 minutes later, he called me. And I was like, ugh. And he was like, hello. And I was like, ugh.
Those are the great calls, right?
Hold
I remember
on, please.
Once picking up the phone and being like, hi, Sarah, this is Willie Nelson. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Can you hang on just one second?
I know. Please hold. And then I was like, hello. But yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I know. But it's just, yeah, I love Andre Brower. I've loved him ever since this Soldier story.
Yeah, he's just too good. And he just keeps getting work, which is great. I mean, maybe he could just, like, you know, go from thing to thing. And men of a certain age, can we just have a moment?
I know.
How great it was.
It's so unfortunate, too, because, I mean, obviously it wasn't them. And Andre Brower now is on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And Ray Romano has this huge, you know, storyline, a developing storyline on Parenthood. And people love him on there. And they've gone on to other things. But it's just sort of unfortunate because it was such a sweet show.
Yes, they did a very nice job with that show. But I love that. I love it when casts of show. I mean, those guys were already known quantities. But
right,
you know a
right.
show is good when everybody on that show goes on to do something else.
That's true.
Like Freaks and Geeks or,
right.
you know, something like that, where every member of that cast is now doing something somewhere.
It's got, well, Scott Bakula, he found something else. Those guys.
Scott Bakula was just in some movie, wasn't
he? Oh, he was in Candelabra.
Behind the Candelabra.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
But I mean,
Scott Bakula is always working.
Well, you know, Scott Bakula. What are you going to do?
And when he's not, he's leaping from time period to time period.
He's so busy time traveling. He just barely
mysteries.
Has any time.
We don't have to worry about Scott Bakula.
That's true. That is a very good point. Oh, my gosh, Sarah, you are so awesome. I could talk to you for like a half hour, 2 hours more, but I'm sure people will be like, okay, I'm not listening to this. But I'm so grateful to you for doing the show. You are awesome. I can't wait to see you this summer at TCA's.
I know. It's right around the corner. It's going to be great. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, no. Thank you for doing the show. And you have to come back maybe mid-season or so like that when you're less
mid-season.
Not so busy.
I will be there.
Sweet.
I will share my opinions, and I'm sure we will agree all over again.
Yes. I love it. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks.
So this is the part of the show where I thank everybody. And like I said, I've already thanked Sarah ridiculously in her huge, ridiculous amount. But I have to thank her again because that was a lot of fun, right? I hope you think it was as much fun as we did. But if you don't, that's okay. That's fine. Sarah is a TV and pop music critic for Boston Globe. Check her out online at bostonglobe.com and on Twitter at Globe Rodman. And we have to thank our sponsor, Record Surplus in Santa Monica, the last record store. Visit recordsurplusla.com. NPR West, the amazing Theo. He has done it again, people. He has done it again, and everything sounds great because of him. And we have to thank production assistant and graphic artist Adam Janice. Thanks, Adam, and thank you. Gonna give my heart away. Leave it to the other girls to play. For I